J.J. Regan joins us from NBC Sports covering the Capitals. That's a huge blow for the Capitals, no question. But for one game, albeit, they sure didn't miss T.J. Oshie. And Washington seemed to play inspired for one of their wounded teammates.
Yeah, it definitely looked that way. It was such a tough blow considering they had lost two straight games. They had only scored once in those two games. And then you lose your second leading goal scorer from the regular season. And such a great locker room guy. But, you know, the addition of Devontae Smith-Pelly, I know he's a fourth-line player, but he's so well-liked in that locker room. Todd Reirden said afterwards that it was a good distraction for the team, and it definitely felt that way. I was struck the morning of Game 5 how loose the team felt, how confident they felt, how happy they felt. There was a sense of confidence there, and I think Devontae Smith-Pelly had a lot to do with it just because they like him so much. He's such a locker room guy. So I think he was the right addition at the right time for that team. But really the way that they won and really took control was the physical play, which we had not seen enough of to this point in the series. And once they got going, they really beat Carolina up.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's something I noticed as well. So who, in your opinion, was the leader of that kind of physical assault?
Well, the leader in all respects for this team is Alex Ovechkin. I believe, if I have this correctly, he had 11 hits in that game. He was definitely the physical presence. And you saw it from especially Dougie Hamilton. Dougie Hamilton shies away from the puck in the corner. You know, yes, maybe he thought it was icing. But if he did, he was the only person in the arena who thought that was icing. So, you know, yeah. Shying away from the corner there. Definitely didn't want to get hit, made an alternative life decision to shy away from that puck, and it cost Carolina a goal. I mean, that when they scored that goal to make it 3-0, that's when you knew that game was over. And that's the toll that the physical play can take on these players. They just get beaten up, and it makes them think about it, and it makes them not want to go into the boards and get those kinds of pucks. And you saw it very clearly on that play.
Yeah, that was amazing. Like, that is one where you're just like, you can't, you know, excuse yourself as a player. When you come back to the bench and you literally just pulled the chute that easily and that quickly, and it cost you a goal. There's just nowhere to hide. And I wonder, what was there must have been some discussion amongst, at least amongst the media up watching that game about how he just kind of bailed right out.
Yeah, initially it was, he must have thought it was icing. But the more you looked at it, the more you realized, like, nobody thought it was icing. And he was pretty much neck and neck with Ovechkin. So even if he was thinking, oh, this is going to be icing, he still would have to beat Ovechkin to that puck. So the more we talked about it, the more we looked at it, the more we saw the replays, the more it looked like Hamilton was just sort of, maybe I don't want to beat Ovechkin to this puck right now.
We're talking with all things Washington Capitals, J.J. Regan from NBC Sports. Tell us a little bit about the young man who's now playing, for the most part, on the top line, Jonas Siegenthaler, and why the young Swiss guy is getting such an opportunity.
Yeah, so the defense has been a work in progress since the Capitals lost Michael Kempney. Michael Kempney is playing on the top pair with John Carlson, and they hadn't been able to find the right combination since he left. For a while, they were playing Carlson on the left, which is his offside, and Nick Jensen on the right, and that wasn't working all that well. They kept mixing and matching the pairs. It just wasn't working all that well. You don't mix and match pairs through the game if things are going well for you. So eventually, Jonas Siegenthaler came in Game 4 to replace Christian Jews. Christian Jews played well in the playoffs last year, but he was definitely feeling the pressure of that forecheck. He wasn't doing well. So, and Siegenthaler came in and he played well. He was a steady presence. He's a more defensively responsible guy. He's a bigger body. He's more mobile. So he played well in the face of that pressure. And then I was surprised to see him move up to the top pairing. And I was even more surprised that Todd Reirden stuck with it after mixing the pairs throughout the series in game. And that shows a lot of confidence in what he saw from that pairing. The biggest thing is you have John Carlson. He's one of the best defensemen in the league. Don't put him at a disadvantage by making him play on his offside. Siegenthaler is a more defensive guy, so he matches up well with Carlson. Plus, he's a left-shot defenseman, so he can play on the left, gives you a chance to put Carlson on the right, and then you can keep the rest of your pairs together. And what it also does is it allows you to put Nick Jensen on the third pair. He's a deadline acquisition. Sometimes deadline acquisitions need more time to adjust. He hasn't played all that well since they brought him in from Detroit. He plays much better when you give him fewer minutes. His best game of the series by far was game five, and that was because they weren't asking him to play on the top pair with a guy who's playing on his offside. So I like the trickle-down effect. I like how Siegenthaler looked, but he's going to have to keep it going. This is going to be tonight his third NHL playoff game, so maybe you see a little bit of regression, but so far so good for the Caps.
Now, you mentioned Jensen and the deadline acquisitions. Obviously, Kempney was unbelievable for them last season, but he goes down with injury. And you mentioned Jensen, he scored one pretty big goal so far in the playoffs for Washington, but overall his play I don't think has come to the level of Kempney. But do you see him maybe being Kempney light as far as a trade deadline acquisition for them?
Well, what I like about it, it's huge because of the Kempney injury. It means that you still have a top six guy in your lineup. Like I said, I like him on the third pair. He plays really well when he's there. He plays really well when you're not asking him to be a top pairing guy. It's just he's had to adjust a little bit. And part of that, in Detroit, when you're on the right side, you stay on the right side. You do not move. You do not switch sides. For the Caps defensive system, you're asked to play both sides. It's not that you're setting up on the left and the right. It's just that when you come back, when the offense gets going, you come back. You're not in a set lane. You switch over all the time. You see it all the time. Jensen is not used to playing on the left, and he's been burned by it so far. I think that's been the biggest adjustment for him, is that when he gets caught on the left trying to play his offside, he struggles. He looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. That will develop over time. Right now, I think the best place for him is the third pairing. He's not going to have the same sort of impact as Michael Kempney. But still, it is a huge acquisition, because when you lose Michael Kempney, it doesn't mean you're bringing in guys like Jonas Siegenthaler and Christian Juice, two younger guys, and then all of a sudden your blue line looks very inexperienced, very green, and you're not sure if you're going to be able to get through it. You still have a guy who was playing in the top four in Detroit, and he's still on your third pair. So definitely a big acquisition, but not sure it's going to rise to the level of Michael Kempney.
What's been the, or has there been much discussion at all about the non-suspension for Warren Fogle on the hit on TJ Oshie?
Fans were upset, for sure. And, it wasn't a great play. I looked at it and thought it may rise to the level of a major, but I didn't see it as suspension worthy. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can say that TJ Oshie was on. TJ Oshie knew he was there, and it looked to me like he turned his back to shield the puck from him, and he just got caught in the wrong position when Fogle hit him. Definitely a dirty play, definitely worth a penalty. Not sure it was worth a suspension, but, when you see such a fan favorite like TJ Oshie go down, the fans are out for blood, out for blood. So the fan reaction here, they were stunned. There was no suspension. Of course, all the rumors of, the NHL hates Washington comes up again. But, it's an understandable reaction. The players were very upset because he's such a leader. Todd Reirden was as fired up as I've ever seen him ever. He does not get fired up, and he was really upset after that game where somebody asked him for an update on Oshie, and he said, yeah, I can tell you exactly what happened. He got hit, a dirty hit in the back, and now he's going to be out for a while. So he was about as fired up as I've ever seen him. Definitely the team was fired up, but we talked about Dougie Hamilton. There may have been a little karma there for Fogle in game five as well, because he made a pass to nobody in the neutral zone, and Alex Ovechkin picked it up and turned that into Washington's second goal of the game. So I think at this point people are looking towards closing out the series and not so much at that that possible suspension for Fogle, but definitely stinks to see a guy like TJ Oshie lost.
Well, yeah, and he's done now. So who do you – Wilson obviously will play a little bit more, but who else is going to fill in the top six with Oshie gone?
Well, right now they're moving Carl Hagelin up, another deadline acquisition. Carl Hagelin has served basically as their Swiss Army knife, where they could put him in literally anywhere in the lineup. He you in a full lineup, you like to see him in the bottom six. But if you need him in the top six, he can definitely play there with his speed. He's a very good player, and he can adjust to just about whatever role you need him to. So he's right there. He's in on the second line right now. But really, if they need someone to step up, the guy is going to have to be Jacob Vrána. Vrána had a tremendous regular season for the Caps, one of their 720 goal scorers. He's one of the best goal scorers on the team. He right now has 0 points in five games. That's not good enough. There is talk that he may be a little bit banged up, but in playoff time, you got to be able to dig deep and you got to be able to get points. They can't have a top six player of his skill sitting there with a goose egg on the stat. So he's someone who's definitely going to have to step up in the wake of Oshie's absence.
Well, we'll see what happens. The Capitals, with Tampa out and Pittsburgh and everybody else experience, they win this one. A lot of people might look at them now as the clear-cut favorite. So we'll see what happens. And they definitely want to avoid Game 7. Rest at any time in the playoffs is a welcome addition for them. So we'll see if they can finish off tonight. Thanks, JJ. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.